Hey, it's Chris, and welcome to the Between Dreams podcast. This show is a conversation with people who are doing interesting, amazing things, making things happen in hopes to inspire you listening and watching at home or wherever you are to get out there and get started on the idea that you are thinking about doing or that you've been thinking about doing, because I know everyone, including me and all of the guests that have been here, are doing something cool now, and it started with an idea, started with a dream, and then they did something about it to make it reality. So that's what you're going to do.
Do it, hopefully. Guys.
Today's guest is here. This is Jenny Mallier.
That's right.
And she is an actor, writer, the new Kia girl.
Yeah.
Kia commercials.
Get a Sorento. You said Nokia earlier. I don't even think Nokia phones exist anymore, do they?
Yeah, well, yeah, because you said you were the new Kia girl, and I was like, oh, the Nokia girl.
The Nokia girl, sure, they're bringing them back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Flip phones.
That would be good. I think that's what we need is more flip phones.
I agree. Let's bring them back.
Yeah, but there's not...
If that's your dream.
You're the new Kia girl. So
that's right.
I want to dig into this a little bit, and we chatted a little bit before we started about how I'll speak for you, and you were hesitant to, you were like, oh, are you sure this, what I have to talk about is valuable?
Yeah.
And I was specifically interested in it because there's this world, and it's a world that I kind of live in myself of this, and I came from juggling world, which is very much that, is you can live this world of doing something and without hitting this stride of like ultimate fame where everyone knows who you are, and you can have your own little world. And I think increasingly more and more that's so, like, there's people on YouTube, or like I'll come across somebody on Instagram, I'm like, they have 14 million followers.
Yeah.
Like, I've never heard of them.
And they're making a living.
And yeah.
And they're working, and they're not super famous. But
yeah, and no one has heard of them.
Yeah. No, exactly. Yeah.
And that's incredible and so hopeful to, I think, a lot. Because people are like, well, I have four people that follow me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like so okay now, because you don't need to be on a TV show on one thing that 10 million people watch every day.
Absolutely.
Like, I have literally a handful of friends who have like thousands of followers and like have a world, and it makes sense. So that's what I kind of wanted to dig in with, to inspire people and hear your story about kind of being and without diminishing the you know, I would be like, oh, you're just this nobody.
For a non-famous, super average. No, I mean, I think people don't realize there are so many working class actors. I mean, we make a living, we do commercials, we do TV and movies when we can, obviously, but you know, just to make a living as an artist of any kind, I think is an incredible accomplishment. And for most of us, that's really the dream, you know, is just get to do what I love.
Yeah.
And I feel really, really lucky that I do that. And yeah, of course, you start the dream being like, I'm going to be Meryl Streep. And, you know, like, that's great. And good luck, man. But if you end up getting to make a living as an actor, as a writer, as a director, as a juggler, as a magician, like, that's amazing. And, you know, you're doing what so many people wish they could do that they just kind of never really give it a real go.
Yeah. Where does that... Did that ever have a, you know, because again, as you said, when people are, especially little kids, have this dream, oh, I'm going to be famous. That's what it's going to take. But then, you know, I think a lot of people, when they realize, oh, this isn't happening how I initially thought or imagined that it was going to, so I failed, so I'm going to give up.
Right.
So there's two paths. I love the path idea of there's always decisions that we have to make of, do we keep doing this? Mm-hmm. Do we keep doing this in a different way?
Yeah.
Do we keep doing this just with accepting a different mindset?
Yeah.
So was there a turning point there for you where you're like, oh, cool, this is success. I can just say that this, and then that's something like, I can say this is success.
Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest advice I have for anybody who is thinking of giving this a go is to set your life up in a way that is sustainable, that makes you happy. I think everybody moves out here and is like, I'm going to be a star in 6 months. Yeah. And that, you know, that sounds great. And I believed it. Everybody believes it. Like, you believe you're special in some way, or you wouldn't come out here and try this.
To,
you have to. You kind of have to.
It has to be that, like, dumb.
Dumb, egomaniacal monster in you that, you know.
Yeah, this is like a cliche thing, but it's like true. If like, if I knew now,
yeah.
If I knew what I know now then, I would be like, well, no, this is insane.
Oh, exactly. No, you ask yourself, like, would I have done this if I knew how hard this was going to be?
Yeah.
But I think people move out here and they think, you know, okay, I'm just going to get like a crappy job that I hate and get an agent. And then in 6 months, I'll be, you know, in a big movie. And yeah. I think it's great to be ambitious like that and to have big dreams, but the best thing you can do for yourself is set your life up in a way that you enjoy your life in the meantime, because it might take 2 years, it might take 5 years, it might take 10 years, and you don't want to be miserable. And if you're miserable, that's when you're going to give up and go home.
Yeah.
That's when you're going to say, like, well, I failed. This is awful. It's not for me. I guess I suck after all. I'm going to go home because it's easier. You know, get a job you don't hate. Like, find a source of income that makes you reasonably happy and comfortable. Get a roommate you don't hate, you know, live in a part of town that's like kind of fun.
Yeah.
Drive a car. This is a huge one. Drive a car that works well. Okay. I moved
like
out
a
here.
Kia.
Like a Kia. Get a Kia Soul.
They're going to sponsor us by the end of this.
This is huge, guys. Yeah. So I moved out here with like a really crappy old Volkswagen that broke down all the time. And it was so stressful.
Yeah.
And I would be like on the side of the road in Laurel Canyon crying in my car. Like, I want to go home. This is terrible. And then, you know, as soon as I had a little bit of money, I decided to get like a decent car that gets me. Don't get a fancy car. Don't go crazy. Don't book like one national commercial and think you're rich, because you'll feel like it for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Because you get a big check and you're like, oh my God, I've made it. And then you don't get any checks for like 6 months.
Yeah.
But yeah, so get a car that works well, that's going to get you around to auditions or gigs or whatever. You know, that's such boring advice, but like it's really, in LA especially, you spend half your life in your car.
Yeah.
So get one that you don't hate.
And even like on that, as super practical here, as a just investment type thing, it's like, get the best that you can without sinking yourself.
Exactly.
And that's what I did when I started driving around to do college shows. I had like old Volvo station wagon.
Yeah.
You know, like, 200,000 miles on it. And I would like break down and stuff. And then I went out and bought a brand new minivan that I like couldn't really afford.
You,
but
sexy.
Like, humble brag.
Humble brag.
You know, it was like at the top end. It was like, but I was like, I need this space.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get this old thing. And then it like so paid off.
And a minivan is so practical for when you're lugging stuff around.
Yeah.
I do not envy that with you guys. Like,
yeah.
I actually used to be a fairy. I did children's birthday parties, which is actually a great job.
You can't just leave that. That's once a fairy.
No, I'm always a fairy, for sure. It just becomes part of your soul.
You just walk away from your fairy wings.
It's just, part of me. But I had to lug. I actually did a magic show in my fairy show, and I had to lug all this stuff. And, like, it was such a pain, and I hated it. And now I see, you know, my husband Stuart does it all the time. He's just always lugging stuff. And I'm just like, God, I don't envy that. I show up to an audition. I'm like, what's up? I got one piece of paper and I'm ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So go back to starting points.
Yeah.
The initial stages, because a lot of times that is the hardest of like, I think I want to do this, but I'm not sure. It's that first step is really
like
hard.
Making
for
the decision.
Yeah.
Making the plan.
That decision. And a lot of people live in the, I wish I could do this and I'm going to start.
Yeah.
When I save up $12,000 to move to LA, or I'm going to do this when I can buy a new car and drive to or whatever. It's a start a podcast. I'm going to do this when I can save up and have microphones and lights and turn my living room into this.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't have this, so I can't start a podcast or whatever it is. And on my
there's always a reason to not do a thing.
I do the same thing. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I need more. I'm like, no, relax.
Oh, no, it
look
looks
what
good.
You've done.
It's very fancy.
So that's valuable when I hear that of other people talk about, you know, yeah. I talk to people that have TV shows mm-hmm. and they're like, yeah, I don't know. It's going to be over.
Yeah.
And then so like at, then it, that never goes away.
Yeah.
So,
no, it never goes away.
What was the thing for you when you went back? So somebody's in that moment. They're like, I want to start this thing. But there's probably equal amount of on the scale of reasons to do it and yeah. reasons not to do it. But like yeah. one thought added to either side of that will.
Oh, no, there's way more really? Reasons to not do it. Yeah. There's way more reasons to like stay in your hometown, get a normal job, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what? So the thing that tips those scales to yeah. do the thing that you want to do is mindset and thoughts mm-hmm. and that decision. So go back to that time yeah. when it was like, am I going to do this or am I going to be a school teacher or whatever right. people want to do? That was what I was going to be, a school teacher. Yeah. And then I was like, no, I don't want to do this.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had a real normal job in my hometown. I always wanted to be an actor. It was always just, you know, in my soul, like that's what I wanted to do. And I studied acting from like 14 on. I went to an art school and I talked a big game in high school, like, guys, I'm going to Hollywood. I'm going to be a movie star. Everyone was like, good luck. But then, you know, practicality sets in and I went to college. I got a political science degree and my parents are just really normal, middle class, practical, you know. And they weren't, I won't say that they were discouraging, but they just thought it was nuts. Like, my stepdad was like, oh, you're going to move to Hollywood and be a waitress? Oh, I mean, actress. And hilarious. So that was sort of like the attitude.
Yeah.
So I, at some point, I talked myself into just getting a more normal job. And I worked at a political consulting firm in Florida, which I'm actually still, I mean, I'm very passionate about politics. And it was a really cool job. And I loved it. But at some point, you know, I just said, this is just not like, I had, some part of me had sort of put it behind me of like, that was just like a silly childhood dream. Mm. But then something just clicked maybe a year into that job. And I was like, I gotta go. I just gotta go try it. I just have to go or I'm gonna regret it forever. So I got a late start. Like yeah. I didn't move out here until I was like 25, which is harder.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're 18, like you should probably do it now, honestly.
Yeah.
But also there are benefits to of having, you know, having had real life experience and job experience.
Yeah.
Because I was able to come out here and apply what I had learned in sort of a more business setting to myself as an artist. I really treat myself like I'm the CEO of my company as an artist. And, you know, I know how to strategize and plan for myself on a day-to-day basis. And I don't just get overwhelmed. So I think that life experience was really useful. Like working on political campaigns is basically like starting a small business every time. Like you yeah. start from scratch and you have to build it. And it's the same thing as an artist when you're pursuing, you know, a career, you have to build it from nothing. And if you have gained some life experience and skills beforehand, I think it helps, but also B12 because that helps. Or have a really famous parent or, you know.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I don't, I, well, I was, didn't do the traditional like actor LA path, but
yeah.
I was like 31. It was like only a couple years ago that I came out.
Oh, you're kidding.
I was like 31. I've only really? Been in LA for 3 years.
Oh my God, look at all you're doing. That's amazing. Where but were you before?
In Pennsylvania.
You moved here from Pennsylvania
yeah,
like 3 years ago?
Grew up in Pennsylvania, lived there my whole life.
That is wild.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's
people
amazing.
Are always like, oh, I thought you were here forever. Because wow. you've accomplished so
much. Look at all you've done. Yeah. I mean, yeah. And I don't mean to
turn your living room into nonsense
You hung
land.
A thing on your wall and it looks great.
Yeah, you did it.
Yeah, you did it. You got t-shirts.
You tricked yeah. people.
Yeah. And I don't mean to be discouraging by saying you need to be young. Because obviously you yeah. can do it at any age, truly. But I think don't put it off. Don't talk yourself out of it. If you know it's in your heart, you know it's what you want to do, just do it. Make a plan and do it.
Yeah.
You can do it. You don't have to have a ton of money in the bank. I mean, have a little bit.
Yeah.
I didn't know anybody. I moved out here. I had a tiny, like a couple $1,000s maybe. Yeah. And, you know, my crappy Volkswagen. And I found like a decent apartment. And, you know, the first couple years are hard. And you're broke and you're emotional. You realize quickly, like, oh, right, there's a million other people trying to do this. I'm actually not that special.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's discouraging, but you just gotta do it. Like, if it's in you, you have to do it. Yeah. It'll kill you if you don't. Yeah. It really will. That's amazing you came out here at 31. That's honestly really gutsy.
Yeah. Yeah. When I came out, people were like, oh, did you get a job there? Or
yeah.
Like, did you like, tell I was in yeah. a show or something? I was like, no, I don't.
No.
Like, nothing.
I'm just going.
Actually, really, like even yeah. less than, because like I yeah. had East Coast school out of colleges, performing at colleges. So that was like a world that I like could drive around to colleges. Out on the yeah. West Coast, there's a lot less colleges.
Right.
Per the, you know, East Coast has way more you can drive,
yeah.
bounce around to more colleges. So I was like, no, actually, I'm probably going to have less
yeah.
things, like less opportunities.
Yeah. No, it's, yeah. And more competition. I mean, everybody yeah. out here is so good.
Yeah, yeah.
And like trying so hard.
yeah.
You know, like you really, you have to like step up your game 100%. You for sure are probably the most talented, ambitious, hardworking, coolest person in your hometown or in your high school,
right.
you know? But out here, everybody's that.
Yeah.
So you just have to, you know, be constantly stepping up your game and doing more and learning and, you know, becoming really, really good at your craft, whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what's good. I talked to a bunch of people that came out and they were just like, yeah, I just feel like I wasn't being, that's why I wasn't being pushed.
Yeah.
And it was like, that's what's great. Like, even to go back to this, we're kind of making fun of my living room that I turned into this. If you're just listening, go watch the video. You yeah. can see that it's like a kind of crazy. But that's part of it. Like, I got to compete with, you know, these people who their job every day is to have a podcast.
Yeah.
And they have four people working for them to yep. produce it.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's what people are expecting. And whatever, acting like making your YouTube channel, like YouTube shows now are like TV shows.
They
so it's
great.
Like, yeah, you're going to start with a GoPro that you're holding on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to like get better. But there's the two sides of that. Like, you have to be really good and try to keep getting better. But also, like, when you start, I started with like $100 microphone
yeah.
hosting a podcast, and I would have like drive to other people's place and like set up my laptop and like record and like hopefully it was working and all this
right.
stuff. And then, you know, like 85 episodes later, it's something. But that was 85 times
yeah.
like the hour to record, lining up guests,
and trial
then
and
editing
error, and
them,
figuring out what works,
yeah,
and
deleting some
yeah.
of them by accident before they get posted.
Yeah, yeah. Oh God. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as an actor, like, you go in the audition room and it doesn't matter if you're nervous or if you're not prepared or whatever, like, other people are going to be super prepared and awesome. So that,
yeah.
like, you would just have to be great. And I know that's easier said than done, but, you know, it's you just have to put the focus, the energy into it, get up every day and treat it like your job. I think it's a really easy trap for actors and writers probably to fall into of like sleeping till 11, like maybe you go to the gym, you know, maybe you write for like half an hour, or, you know,
yeah.
it's easy to fall into that trap when you don't have structure, if you're not someone who is naturally motivated to like, you know, 9 to 5, treat it like your job. So you really just have to set your life up in a way that, you know, maybe you need people around you. Maybe you need the energy of other people. So you need to set up a writer's group 3 days a week, or, you know, an audition practice group where you just sort of do auditions for each other,
yeah.
or an improv group or whatever it is. Like, find what you need and
yeah.
apply it to your life.
Yeah.
Don't just fall into the trap of like, well, no one's telling me to do my job today.
Right.
So I'm not going to do it. And I'm going to
yeah.
take a nap and watch Netflix.
That's huge. And so, and the pushback on that is going to be somebody will like, well, I just don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how
don't
to
know
do
how.
That. I've asked
yeah.
people to help me
right.
before, and no one wants to help me. And that will... I understand that completely, because
yeah.
I fall into that a lot. I'll like invite people over here, like, oh, let's do like a day of work. And
yeah.
then like no one shows up.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, I did everything that I was like, I went out and bought snacks.
Oh,
and,
I'll come over
know.
And work.
And then but it's like, yeah, people are in
yeah.
their own thing. So there's those like efforts trying to
yeah.
do that. But this is a good example to bring that kind of into a circle of this is like, I host a podcast on a selfish side, is that I get to ask people that wouldn't talk to me and answer my emails.
I normally would never talk to you. just yeah. walked right by.
You did never came to my hangouts.
I wasn't invited.
Say you're going to be on camera and all of a sudden
oh,
you wanna...
what? Here I am. Hello.
So there's things that you can do, you know, start up. Maybe you don't want to do a podcast.
Yeah.
Start a YouTube channel where you interview, do 1 minute interviews with yeah. interesting people. And you don't say, don't ask people to come over and don't ask people, can I buy you coffee? And you're going to take 2 hours out of their day. Be like, oof. Hey, can I come to your office? And ask you one question. It'll take 3 minutes.
That's brilliant.
And I will bring you whatever, you know,
a pastry.
Figure out what
yeah.
they like and
yeah.
the whole office. And then you have this experience of talking to somebody who's doing what you want to do.
Yeah.
And you weren't invasive to them. And now you have this like network and you know, who knows? By me doing podcasts and learning about audio and video, like this week I'm literally making 4 videos and I'm getting paid like more than I would have gotten paid for that many hours of doing juggling shows.
Wow. Yeah.
And it's because I started yeah. doing that. I learned how, like, there's no one here.
Yeah. No, there's a huge crew.
It was like I had, we set up the lights.
Yeah.
We set up the camera. I need to learn how to do this. And you then too. That leads to now, like, other people are like, oh, can we hire you to do this? So
right.
it's like you never know where it'll lead by doing those things that you want to do. And if you don't have that structure support group around you, figure out a way to do it. And also, like, you know, don't use it as a crutch, but like there's YouTube and you can hear
absolutely.
Anyone talk about anything to inspire you.
And you for sure have, you know, a type A Virgo friend out there who will like wants to
yeah, yeah.
help you with stuff or just sit there with you while you work on stuff. Like if
yeah.
that's something you struggle with, you know, and the truth is, I think everyone has to face the fact at some point that nobody really cares if you become a successful actor or writer
yeah.
or a magician or whatever. Nobody really cares. You're the only one that cares.
Yeah.
So you have, like, no one else is going to do it. Nobody's going to do it.
Yeah.
And I think when you say that every day, I mean, that's a little, like, maybe your
yeah.
mom cares, but really your mom cares that, like, you're okay.
Yeah,
she
yeah,
doesn't
yeah.
care that you're a famous actor.
Yeah.
But if you remind yourself of that every day and, you know, and know what your weaknesses are too, like figure out if you're not that good at making goals, like take a workshop, take a class, work with a friend who is. If you're not that good at staying focused, find a system like, do you know the Pomodoro method where you work for?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You work for 25 yeah. minutes and then take
yeah.
a 5 minute break. That is so great for me and so useful for me. I have an app on my phone. It's called like Be Focused Pro or something. So in the 25 minutes, I only do one thing.
Yeah.
So I can't get distracted by Instagram, by emails, by phone calls, by I'm hungry, I want a snack. Like none of that. For 25 minutes straight, I'm writing.
Yeah.
Or for 25 minutes straight, I'm working on these sides. And then you take in the 5 minutes, you have to get up, you have to stretch, you have to walk around, you have to think about something else, give your brain a break, and then go back and do another task for 25 minutes. So just know what your weaknesses are and find solutions for them. We just have access to so much information now.
Yeah.
Like we were saying earlier, when we were growing up, like you didn't have YouTube tutorials for everything.
Yeah.
You couldn't find answers to everything.
Yeah.
And now I think you really can,
yeah.
you know? It's all out there on
yeah.
the internet.
Yeah. We just talked about this with a previous guest of like people ask me like questions about something, like making something. I don't know how to do anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I literally don't really know how to do anything.
Uh-huh.
And it happens all the time with
yeah.
like, especially like working for somebody else. They're like, hey,
yeah.
can you do this graphic and
yeah.
add this text thing? And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's cool. Because I'm like, wow, this probably a 12-year-old will teach me how to do it
right.
on the internet. Or I can like find somebody to give $100 to
yeah.
and they'll just do
and
it for me
do
in
it.
10 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. It's probably worth it.
So, yeah, that's something too of going back to that thing of taking the first step and jumping in.
Yeah, I think you don't have to spend a lot of time getting good at the stuff you're not good at. I think spend time on the things you're great at.
Yeah.
And figure out how to get the other stuff done.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I found that there's people, like I've done that. Like my friend does motion graphics better than
yeah.
I do. I'm like, hey, can you do this? Cool.
Great.
Done. And I'm like doing something that I can do.
And like
equally.
Trade. Give one of
yeah.
your skills. Help somebody with something else. And don't, there's just no reason to spend a bunch of time on like learning a whole, like I'm never going to learn like coding. You know what I mean? Right. Like, yeah, yeah. So I just pay for Squarespace and I do my basic website and I watch a couple tutorials on YouTube and I'm done.
Yeah. Go back to the, let's go back into a specific back. I want to hit mindset stuff because I think there's something that's real, you know, I talk about this a lot with like going on stage. You're behind that curtain.
Yeah.
And then there's like audience out there. And then I'm going to walk out there and I'm like, that's good. They're there to see me. You know, they're not, sometimes they're there to see the juggler.
Yeah.
Usually.
Yeah, yeah.
Not me. They're like, oh, it's a juggling show. But, they're there to see me, and I'll like, sometimes I'll stop and think about it. Like, thinking back to a little kid, me, I was like, oh, that person up there knows what they're doing. They're a professional, and they like have every bit figured out. And how did they get so confident to do this? And then I'm back there, I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, what am I going to say? What happens when this happens? All these things. And I'm like, how did I get here to be this person
that people think has stuff figured out,
doing it right? And then so like on your side, maybe that's walking into an audition room, you know, so we've seen audition rooms on TV and movies where people like, oh, they prepared for it, and then like I've been there, like walking, I'm like, I actually don't know what I'm supposed to do or how I'm supposed to do this on every level. In that moment, we'll go back to our decisions. Like, no one's walking you in, holding your hands.
Yeah,
you can say, "Ah, sorry, I'm sick. I'm not. I can't. I'm
of course.
I'm gonna be sick today."
Oh, you can talk yourself out of every audition, every performance.
Yeah,
like at some point, you know, your brain kind of goes like fear, danger, and you go like, "I'm just gonna back up slowly and not do this." Like at some point, that kicks in for everybody. It doesn't matter how long you've been doing it.
So where does that decision of in that moment, somebody's in that moment and feeling that every day, and they're like, "I want to go do this thing. I want to start this thing, but I don't know where to start. I feel like I don't know how to do it." So they're in that moment. Do you have a tool or a trick that you kind of recount when you start to feel that thought driving into that wrong direction to be like, oh, break, back over here.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just that, a flip of the switch, like acknowledge that that is a thing and then be like, oh, well, I'm the guy. They're here to see me.
Yeah.
I'm going to open up that curtain and then I know it's going to work.
And it's fine. Yeah. I mean, when I decided to quit my real job and move out here, I was really embarrassed to tell people because they knew me sort of in this different capacity, in this, you know, political professional environment. And I remember saying to a friend, like, oh, I'm just like embarrassed to tell people. And she was like, Jenny, sorry, nobody's thinking about you. Everyone's thinking about themselves.
Yeah.
And that was so profound to me. Like, maybe that seems really obvious to everybody else, but on some level, we think everybody's watching us. Everybody's listening to us. So we feel like we overanalyze everything we do. Every performance, you know, you think, oh, did I mess that part up? Every audition, you think, did I screw that part up? But you just have to, like, I really do tell myself all the time, everyone's worrying about themselves. Everyone has their own problems, especially, you know, in an audition, the casting director, they have a job to do and they need you to be good and they need to send the tape to the producers. They're not thinking about
you.
They
don't care if you're like
embarrassed
by
the thing. They don't care. They're thinking about themselves and their job.
Yeah.
And I think that's really liberating, you know. I even have this really morbid thought whenever I'm really nervous, you know, for something. It's like, every single person in this room is going to be dead in the ground in 100 years. Like, what do I, why be nervous? Yeah. Who cares? Yeah. We're all worm food. You know what I mean? Like, you know, in a few decades, no one here is going to exist. I know that sounds dark, but like, it really helps you to just like get perspective. And, you know, you can't help but feel like there's this giant spotlight on you when you're on stage or in an audition and you're just being analyzed at every second. But the more relaxed you are, and you know, as a performer, when you're relaxed, it's a world of difference. As an actor, relaxation is everything.
Yeah.
And you will give a crappy performance and a crappy audition if you're tense and too self-aware.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you find, you know, ways, and with acting, I think it's about training. It's about your technique. Mm-hmm. Like, find a technique that works for you and work on it for years. I think so many people think that they don't need to train. Mm. But relaxation is such a huge part of your training in that, you know, you're able to just be free and be present and connect with the other person. You know, put your attention on the other person, and that immediately helps you relax because it takes the attention off yourself.
Yeah. Dig into that a little bit with training. This will be a little bit maybe specific, but I come from a – so there's a balance, again, of training and then kind of – the discipline of that,
yeah.
But then also in the moment,
yeah,
to be able to let it all
for sure
go. And I come from a world where I didn't have any formal training in my juggling world, no formal training. I just like kind of made my own rules,
yeah,
which benefited me.
Sure, yeah.
By just being like not really like the other jugglers,
yeah,
in a way. And that was really good, but I do like lack any sort of structure of like
really?
Practice or
wow.
rehearsal, like. And
that's wild.
So where does that play into with, or do you have a specific example maybe of a time where it was like in the moment of, you know, maybe an audition or actually, you know, being on camera and you have that foundation, mm-hmm, but then knowing that like, okay, that foundation is there and it's strong. So now I can go places here.
For sure.
I think, as you said, a lot of people now in the YouTube world are like, oh, we don't need to follow the filmmaking rules and
yeah,
we don't need to know about lighting or we don't need to know this because it's just YouTube.
Yeah.
But then you see stuff that looks like crap.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that thing of like, yeah, you can do anything you want.
Yeah.
But the foundation. So where does that play in with?
Well, I assume, so you said you don't have formal training, but you must have a foundation of some technique, right?
The skills were there.
The skills are there.
Me spending years doing
just
it.
Just doing it.
So that's
exactly
kind of the training that...
Right. So then once you've done that, then you can be more free, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when I saw you the first time... I've told you this before, but I thought, like, Stuart was on, and I thought... oh God, there's a juggler on.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, and he was like, just wait. And I loved you so much. You blew me away, which I think like if you can, you know, get an audience member like me on board, then you are killing it. Cause I remember you just did weird stuff. You like grabbed a guy's shoes from the audience and you were just like doing whatever you wanted. And you were so free.
Oh yeah. I did a shoe juggling challenge.
I think on a unicycle. I don't know. But I was literally like, yeah, like I loved it, but it was your freedom that,
yeah,
as an audience member, like we can all just relax and enjoy because you were so free.
Yeah.
And I think with acting, it's the same. You know, you have to have the foundation. You have to spend the time and the technique. But so much of what that gives you is freedom. It's not about technically nailing a thing, like especially in drama. You know, a good actor doesn't say, okay, I'm going to do this at this part and then I'm going to turn like that and do that and then deliver this line like that. A good actor prepares the character, puts the work in, and then shows up open, mm-hmm, ready to connect and in touch with their instincts. And then things just happen.
Yeah.
I have a really brilliant acting teacher that I studied with, William Alderson, teaches Meisner technique. And his big thing is, he says, leave yourself alone. Mm-hmm. Don't do it. Let it do you. Let it happen to you. Mm-hmm. So when you see actors like doing the thing, you know, it's less interesting.
Yeah.
And if you just went on stage and like did what jugglers do and you were technically perfect, we'd all be like, oh, you know, yeah, that was nice. But with actors, when you're free and things are happening to you, don't like, just be free, be relaxed, leave yourself alone. And then something's going to happen to you. You're going to connect with the other actor. Something's going to hit you in an interesting way. And so much more fascinating to watch. And it's more fun as a performer. Because
yeah,
you're free and you're liberated and it's just about being in the moment. It's not about trying to control it. Nobody wants to watch people try to control everything.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
Yeah. And as you were saying that, if people were like, I don't want to go to auditions. It's,
yeah,
it was literally so perfect of like fill in actor and auditions to anything and anything.
Yeah.
Or fill in, you know, going on a date.
Absolutely.
It's like relevant to having a nice life is like exactly what you were saying there could have been to, you know, anyone.
Leading a business meeting, doing a PowerPoint presentation, like it applies, yeah, to every area of life. And, you know, it takes work. Like it's so easy to say, just relax,
yeah,
you know.
And that comes from the foundation. So we'll tie that all up together is like that, having that foundation and knowing that you can build upon it is,
yeah,
what is the key. So I keep telling people that we keep these at 30 minutes and then we keep going way over. And
I'm chatty.
This is great. This is, I really like the, how, I really like overall, in general, how many people I've met here, especially in LA, that are doing something and I think we touched on it earlier of kind of like accepting, oh, this is success for right now.
Yeah.
Sure, we're going somewhere, but this is what it is right now. And you said you have, I love the, and then having structure.
Yeah.
Of the timing. What's the app? People might want the app.
You know, it's called Be Focused Pro, I think. Yeah. But it's the Pomodoro method. So I'm sure there are different apps.
Yeah. So that's something if people are like, oh, I don't know. I don't know how to structure my day. It's too easy to go watch YouTube videos.
Sure.
So there's tools. Even if you don't have people, there's tools. Like your phone has tools. And you said you have another tool, like a planner.
I'm going to geek out real hard right now.
Okay.
But this is big, guys.
Oh, write
this down.
Take it out.
No. I thought about bringing it, but that's too lame.
I thought it was just like
in my pants.
In your shirt, or like pull
it's
it
part
out.
Of my
like,
act. Yeah. So I'm sort of a planner junkie. I've tried like every planner. I've been trying to figure out like the perfect system since birth, pretty much. But there's a planner called the Self Journal. I think the company is called Best Self, and it's like bestself.co.
Oh, yeah.
Are you familiar with it?
I know them. I had a calendar from them
okay.
at one point.
Yeah.
It was so like a big wall calendar.
Exactly.
They do a lot of that, yeah, like organizing your life.
Yeah.
Stuff.
So your journal comes with a wall calendar if you want to use that. What's so brilliant about it is it's a 13-week planner. So you're able to sort of contain your goals into a really, you know, clear, bite-sized length of time. So it's really easy to say, like, in 5 years, I want to achieve this. And the next year, like, everyone fails at New Year's resolutions because it's just too much. It's too big. Mm-hmm. But 13 weeks is so clear. So the way the system works is you choose three big goals for your 13 weeks that are achievable in 13 weeks. And then the planner helps you break it down into progress milestones and actions and tasks that help you do it. And then you do your planner every morning and every night. I know this sounds super lame, but it becomes part of your routine.
Yeah.
So I sort of start my morning by, you know, planning my day. You do your three big, like, what are your three big wins for the day? I think it's easy to have a huge to-do list that's like 100 things, and you start with the easiest stuff because it feels good to check it off. But this planner really forces you to say, okay, what three things are going to make this day a win?
Yeah.
It might be like write 10 pages, complete 10 pages, which is a big goal for a day. But if you put it in there and then that's the first thing you work on, you don't wait until you've done five tiny tasks on your list, you will get so much more done. Mm. And then at the end of the day, you do your planner and you kind of recap your day. And I just think it's a really brilliant system that I found really effective. The Self Journal.
Cool.
They are not paying me to plug this.
Oh, man. We need so many sponsors for this episode.
I know.
I'm going to have cars.
I know. Yeah.
So that's great. I love that. That's so practical too.
Yeah.
Because we can sit here all day and talk about mindset change, and it's like, okay, great. After this 30 minutes, I'm gonna go back to watching YouTube.
Exactly.
So, like, having an actionable thing is really nice paired with mindset things.
Absolutely.
And that. So let's. And I don't like to ever give advice. But what's something maybe just in your thoughts of that person that's now they're like excited right now and they're like, yeah,
they're
I whatever it is, I'm going to start my thing. I'm going to move here, or I'm going to start my own thing in the town that I am right now.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Like a lot of that is like kind of heavy on like, oh, move to Hollywood. Like you don't need to.
Absolutely. If you're an actor, you might need to. But if you're a creator, if you're creating content of some kind, don't move to Hollywood.
Yeah,
it's
like
so expensive.
You can host like a lot of YouTubers aren't like there's a lot of YouTubers in LA, but a lot of them aren't in LA.
Yeah. And
they have
writers.
A backyard to like film stuff in, which I don't have.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the that person right now, they're fired up. They're like, yeah, I want to do it. But then this podcast is going to end, and then it's going to recommend another inspirational podcast.
Yeah.
And they're going to fall into this loop of like feeling like they're doing those little tasks that aren't important, and they're feeling productive because their day is filled with busy tasks.
Yeah.
But they never end up hitting it. Even at the end of the 13 weeks, at the end of the 13 years, they never hit the top thing because they're like, well, I need to learn more. I need to research more. I need to find more inspiration. In that moment, that person didn't make the decision yet. What's something you have to say to them?
I wish I had a really clear bite-sized answer to this, but I think it's a bigger – I hate to get sort of psychological, but I think we all have blocks. We all have huge emotional blocks, and there's a really good chance that there's something deep down that's holding you back from really allowing yourself to be vulnerable and pursue this dream, because – you do have to be vulnerable. You have to open yourself wide open and put yourself out there to be judged and criticized. And sometimes it takes the work of, you know, figuring out what's going on. Like what's holding me back? What is keeping me from actually taking this step? Like, it's easy to sort of get pumped up and be like, yeah, I'm going to do it. And then tomorrow you wake up feeling depressed and sort of hating yourself, and, you know, you go eat a brownie and go back to bed. So yeah. I think you have to do the work on yourself first. I really do. I created this really lame little homework assignment for some of my girlfriends. We just did a girls' creative productivity weekend, and I had them do this homework assignment before they did their self-journal, which was really just like, sit down with yourself, make a cup of tea, light a candle, really think about like what's working in my life, and go through the categories: career, relationships, creativity, what's not working, you know, what are the things, what makes me feel fulfilled, what makes me feel lonely, what am I doing that's right, and what am I doing that's not right? So go see a therapist, one, and do the work on yourself and spend the time figuring out what's really going on with you before you make your goals. Don't just be like, oh, I'm going to do this in 13 weeks. Boom, done. Like, yeah. Spend the time with yourself first to figure out what you really want to do and what might be holding you back from doing that.
Great.
Spend time with yourself.
Yes. And that's great. It's like a lot of it is just, I have to figure myself out.
Absolutely.
Before figuring everything else out.
Yeah.
Because that's what's driving everything.
For sure.
That was good stuff. So thanks. People that want to find out more about your stuff, where can we find if they want to follow you?
I'm just on Instagram. At Jenny Mellier, JennyMellier, and then it's JennyMellier.com is my website. If anybody wants the lame homework assignment I made, they can email and I can send it to them. It's completely non-scientific and non-proven, but it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll it's put fun. A, yeah, email me.
Yeah.
Email, or if you have other specific questions, always available for emails and chatting, or send me a message on Instagram, whatever. But yeah, that would be really great if people are like, yeah, cool, I want to jump in and do this. That'd be great to
have
a little thing.
Give it a go.
Thank you so much
for joining. Thank you so much.
That was great. Thank you, people at home and everywhere else listening and watching. If you're listening only on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you're listening, podcast app, you can watch too. We have cameras here. So that's on YouTube, and we're putting clips on Facebook and everywhere. You can just figure it out. And thank you for listening, watching. Hopefully the thing you've been thinking about now will become a thing you're doing something about.
We believe in you.
Yes. So go make it happen. As always, go to betweendreamsclothing.com and buy stuff so you can look like me. And that's great. We have these new shirts that are super soft with the new logo. If you're watching on video, you're seeing it right now. They're amazing. I wear one every single day, and so should you.
He has multiples. He's not wearing the same shirt
every
day.
Same one every
day. I'm going to get the tank. I really want the tank.
All right, yeah,
I'm
grab on right it. Now. We'll grab
should
that.
Should I show it?
And, yeah, we'll show them what the what your selection was. So here's the,
this is so smart, because it's like,
there's the, Dylan Thomas, do not go gentle into that good night, quote shirt.
I love this.
That was the selection. So those are available on the website as well. So that's it for now. Thank you and goodbye.